Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Biz Radio U, pushing knowledge further by spotlighting the best in business.
Hello, everybody. I am your host, Ariam Siyum, joined by my lovely co-host, Darren Parkinson.
How are you doing today?
So, it's been some very chilly weather we've had here in Georgia. How are you feeling about that, Darren?
I don't know. I'm feeling a little cold, I guess to say, but at least. But I mean, it was snowing in Hilton Head. I'm not sure if people have been around there in South Carolina, but it is. Yeah, I don't know. I can't picture snow on the beach.
Exactly. I heard there's snow in Savannah, which is odd because you know they're a lot farther south than us. But I guess since they're on the coast.
Yeah.
I've been trying to stay as warm as possible and limiting my outside time. But let's start with the show. We have an amazing guest today, Andre Walters. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. So tell us a little bit more about you. Who's Andre?
Who's Andre? Well, today I'm an entrepreneur. I like to say I'm a recovering attorney. That's usually what I tell people when they ask me. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia now with a new business, Duck Donuts franchise based out of Duck, North Carolina. That's where it started at least. And started in 06, started franchising in 2013. And in October of 2017, we opened our Buckhead location, first of hopefully many to come in the Atlanta area. But we make made-to-order donuts.
Made-to-order.
Yeah, they're delicious. So you walk in and you say, hey, I want chocolate frosted. We're like, great. We'll make it for you now. And that's how it works. So it's a great donut, great product.
Okay. I mean, well, that's definitely an amazing business to go into. Who doesn't like donuts?
Got that.
But question, why donuts? Why Duck Donuts?
That's a very interesting question. And my story goes back pretty far. But why donuts? I took a bite of a donut and that donut was just amazing. And it just gave me the future. So it really was something that I'd never tasted before, never really experienced in terms of a donut product. I mean, I've had donuts before, obviously, but this particular product just seemed like it was just different. And it was, again, it was warm. It was a vanilla cake donut. So differentiate it from a Dunkin' Donut, which is yeast, for example, or even Krispy Kreme, which is yeast. A lot of people love Krispy Kreme. They say, hey, when the hot sign's on, you got to go to Krispy Kreme. I'm like, yeah, great. Our hot sign's always on. That's the thing about donuts.
This is going to be a really long show because I'm already hungry.
I almost brought some donuts today, too. I should have.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where as soon as I tasted the product, I knew that this had a future. And at the time, I was working at with a tech startup that I founded. And that was starting to wind down and this really gave me my next venture, my next path.
So you literally bit into your next investment. That's
bit
great.
Into my next, that is exactly great. What happened.
I tasted success.
I like that. That's very good.
Well, you know, I hope I'm biting into something that gives me so much passion that I'm investing in it too.
There you go. That's what you want.
So what was that transition like? Because you said you're working on a tech startup and then you went to donuts.
Yeah.
How did that transition go?
You know, it's interesting. I always tell people when it comes to a tech startup, that's one of the most uncertain, you know, anxiety-filled things that you could ever do. Literally, when you talk about tech, you're building, most of the time, if you got a real startup, you're building it from scratch. I mean, there's no proof of concept. There's nothing. It's just an idea that you want to take to the next level. So there's so many unknowns, which is what really defines a startup. Right? There's just so many unknowns. And then you go to a business that's a franchise business and it's just a different thing. I mean, there's some predictability in it. You know, you still have to market, you still have to sell, you still have to do all the things that any other business would have to do. But you can look at other operations and say, okay, here's how they're performing. Here's how we might perform. Just a little more certainty involved. Still, you know, a lot of the startup things are still there, but the transition for me actually was pretty manageable. It was pretty manageable. It was different. It was new. But it was something that I said, you know, I think I could really do this. And my vision is pretty big. So the branch we have here of Duck Donuts is under my company called Aishon Atlanta, which is a part of the Aishon Group. And the Aishon Group is a company I formed basically to house a bunch of franchises and different ventures, you know, throughout time that I'm interested in because I'm still a startup guy at heart and I like things with that hockey stick growth trajectory if I can find them, and things that I think could be disruptive. Those are types of things that I'm into. And again, I think that's why Duck Donuts stood out to me, because my mind frame was already in disruption and innovation. And as soon as I bit this donut, I said, they've got it all. It's just not tech. So let me try and do that. But I'm an entrepreneur, and we tend to be pretty agile.
So do you prefer the lifestyle of a donut concierge managing Duck Donuts, or do you prefer the lifestyle of your tech startup?
I look at business a little differently. So the product itself is important, without a doubt, but I'm always looking from more of an enterprise perspective, sort of corporate global perspective. I'm very mission-driven when it comes to the businesses that I want to be a part of. And the Aishon Group, for example, is no different. So, you know, the Aishon Group mission is to benefit the world by enhancing the lives of others. Really, that's what we're really all about. And I look at something like a Duck Donuts as fitting right within that mold, right? We can benefit the world. We're enhancing people's lives through the experiences that they have at Duck Donuts with the product, with the environment. And then, of course, the people that work there, right? The employees, staff, you know, everyone gets to benefit from us being successful at what we do, and creating a successful product. So, you know, I think I look at myself more as, hey, I'm such an entrepreneur that it's not really tech or, you know, for me, it's more, hey, what's the opportunity and can we move this mission forward, really for the Aishon Group specifically? And that's really where my mind is.
Now, does that enterprising mindset come from you being the quote unquote recovering attorney?
No, I think it kind of stems from my family. You know, my father in particular, both my parents are Jamaican immigrants. My father passed in 2016, but you know,
sorry
both
to hear that.
No, thank you. You know, both of my parents were very ambitious and always had a pretty big vision for their lives and their children's lives. My father in particular was an entrepreneur as long as I can remember. Right, you know, when I was a kid, even though he worked a full time job, he was a security guard basically for a company. But at night, you know, after midnight, basically, he would go to these buildings and he would literally clean these buildings for a couple hours and go get his clients and keep doing it every single night. And so I got to watch entrepreneurship in action. I even helped him when I was 12, like with his little paperwork, you know, so I can get involved in the business. So I think that sort of planted the seeds of it. And then along the way, just a lot of different experiences that led me to that. I started paying attention to some business figures. So one in particular that I paid attention to was a guy named Bob Johnson, who is he was the founder of BET, Black Entertainment Television. And I went to law school, and after my second year of law school, I had the opportunity to intern at BET. Just a, you know, happenstance, put in my resume, they like me, they gave me the internship. $10 an hour, wasn't a ton, and I was living in Baltimore, and BET's in DC. So I was driving from Baltimore to DC, hour each way, every single day, back and forth. So that $10 an hour didn't even pay for gas, but it wasn't about that at all, right? It was really about the exposure. But what really got me excited about the BET possibility was a book I read called The Billion Dollar Bet. It was about Bob Johnson, and never met the guy or anything. And that book, in fact, apparently was unauthorized. So who knows how much truth is in it. But what I saw in there was an African-American male that really threw a vision out there and pursued it. And sure enough, you look down the road and he sold it for $3 billion or so to Viacom, which is a huge media property. So that was like the first time I think that I had that aha of, wow, this is really doable. This is really possible. Like, what are the steps now? What do you do? And that was the start of it all, I think. Because then when I went to BET and I got a chance to be a part of that world, I was like, wow, my eyes were just like, I was just going crazy. I mean, you go on there in their front door and you're walking on Michael Jackson's star, you know, Walk of Fame star in front of their building. It was amazing. And I looked around, I saw all the people that were working there and all the things they were doing. I was like, this is incredible. I want to build something like this. So it started there. And then I just kind of, you know, gained inspiration throughout time. I love reading bios about different entrepreneurs and people that made it big. And I think that was it.
And what would you say some of the biggest things you learned and took away from working there?
At BET?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing about BET that I learned is that you want to do something that you're passionate about. You know, when I walked in there every day as an intern, mind you, right? And people literally had TVs on their desks. I mean, it was BET, it was television. So they had to see the program, right? But
yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah, that's what they said. But trust me, people were watching other things at times.
Hey,
for
one,
sure.
One of the perks of the job.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. It was one of the perks of the job. And I saw that and I said, man, this is so cool. Like, this is something, if you gotta, you have to work, right? Like, everybody has to do something in their life. But who says that it can't be something that you truly like enjoy and want to do every day freely, right? And when I walked in there, I noticed that. I noticed that the people were just like, yeah, they were doing a specific function, whether it was finance or law or whatever, but their product was a entertainment product that they all really, really, really supported. And they would work unbelievable hours. They would go to events and it was like, it wasn't really work for them. And so the biggest thing I learned there was to find that thing. And through life circumstances, crazy stories, which I'm sure we'll get in here today, actually had a chance to find it. And it really started with that mindset.
So you graduate from college, you've done your internship.
Yep.
Where are you going?
Yeah. So when I got out of law school, actually going into my third year of law school after this BET experience, I said, you know what? I want to be in entertainment and sports, right? Like, that's the kind of law I want to practice. But coming out, you know, I had this situation where I just needed a job. And so I had a job. I did this internship with this solo attorney who was practicing entertainment law. And it went so well, he decided to give me an offer. And he said, hey, I'll pay you, you know, 50 grand a year. It's like, great. I've never made money before. This is fantastic, right? So we signed this contract and it was on. He said, hey, after you take the bar, come check me out and we'll sort of move this thing forward. I said, okay. So I take the bar and, you know, I'm trying to get in touch with this guy. And for weeks, I can't get him. He's dodging me. And I'm like, oh God, here we go, right? I finally get him and he goes, I'm sorry, Andre, I just don't have the money to hire you. And I'm like, oh, my life's over, blah, 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 right? But instead of going all the way down that life is over road, I decided, you know, let me hit the pavement. Let me send my resume out. Let me just see what I can get. And this one law firm actually decided to give me a shot. And they gave me an interview. It was a weird interview. I didn't think I got the job, but sure enough, a couple weeks later, sent me an offer. Hey, Andre, you want to hire you? $70,000 a year and benefits. And I'm like, yes. Came up $20,000 in like 2 weeks, right? So, you know, so that was cool. And I did that, took the job. It was a commercial lending firm. So most people have no idea what that is, but it was commercial real estate transactions. You know, if you've ever had a business loan or anything like that, a real estate loan for commercial investment purposes, then the people who actually put the documents together, that was the firm I was working for. And I got into it, mind you, I'm a sports entertainment guy, but I'm working in real estate finance, basically. I'm like, nothing could be further
Sounds
from.
Fun.
Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, for me, it was, oh my God, every day I'm drafting contracts, reviewing deals, negotiating, closing deals, and, you know, things like that. And that was cool. It was the business aspect of it, right? But, you know, it was just so monotonous. It was just so every day, like no real life to it, for me at least. Maybe for some people, but just not for me. About a year and a half into it, this story I'm about to tell is completely true. I promise you, just bit by bit, it's true. So one day I'm literally looking out the window and it's a beautiful day. It wasn't cold, I don't believe, like it is here, but it was sunny. It was sunny, blue skies. And, you know, I'm just having this moment. I'm having this conversation with myself. Like, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Because it's definitely not this, right? And literally, I close my door and I'm eating my lunch and I'm thinking, I want this BET-like feeling, right? And experience. Finally, I came to a point where I said, you know what? Who are you? I said, you know what? What do you love? And I said, I really love sports. I do. I mean, as a kid, I played it. I played football throughout high school. I mean, I'm the guy in the barbershop leading the discussion and the argument on whatever the topic of the day is, right? I just really loved it. And I finally said, you know what? I'm naive, right? I'm a young kid and I'm just thinking, you know what? I'm going to get a job in sports working as a lawyer. And where do I want to do it? In Charlotte, North Carolina. And I said that because my brother had moved there. My mom moved there. My sister started school there, UNC Charlotte. And so every time I visited Charlotte, I loved it. And it was a big change from Baltimore, Maryland. And I said, man, if I could work as a lawyer in sports in Charlotte, North Carolina, could I be any more limiting, right? Then that would be ideal for me. But
it's a clear vision.
Clear vision. It was very clear. And just right at that moment, I didn't just stop at the vision. I said, you know what? All right, go. Let's take some action. So what did I do? What anybody would do. I went to a website. So I went to the Carolina Panthers website, NFL, and I went down to their job section and scrolled down and looked at it and clicked on it. And then it, you know, looked at legal, of course, the section there. And it says none. So they don't have any jobs in legal. Not surprising. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. So then I said, you know what? Let me go to the other team, professional team in Charlotte. And it was the Charlotte Bobcats, right? The team that Bob Johnson had founded. Totally not connected to the whole BET thing, I promise you. But I said, you know what? Let me look at their job section. So I scroll down. I look at the jobs and look at legal. And it says none. I'm like, okay, whatever. But for whatever reason, I click on the homepage. And I saw this post that they did. And it said, Charlotte Bobcats hire new CAO, Chief Administrative Officer, and General Counsel, a guy named Jared Barty. And I'm looking at his picture. He looks like a cool dude. Looks like a guy that, you know, could be a friend type of guy. And I'm reading his bio. And I was like, I was floored. I mean, his background, where he'd been, he'd worked as a lawyer in the XFL. You remember that? WWE had Extreme Football League at one point.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was the lawyer there. He was like general counsel of that thing. It was like, what? You know? And then the thing that stood out to me is he was chief production counsel at BET one point in his career. Exactly. I was like, this is no way. I said, you know what? I interned at BET. And I need a mentor. I need somebody that can really show me how to do what he's done. So I decided that day that I was just going to send him an email. And I was going to lobby for him to become my mentor. Now, remember, this is all the same day. This is literally blue sky, all that stuff. So I did that. I called up the Bobcats and I say, hi, can I get Jared Barty's email address? They go, I'm sorry, sir. We can't give that to you. Say, okay. So we can transfer you to his line. I'm like, all right, even better. You know, so they transfer me. And it's ringing and it's ringing. And next thing I know, he picked up. He goes, Jared Barty. I'm like, oh, like I wasn't actually expecting to talk to the guy today, right? I wasn't that bold.
This is your moment.
This is my moment, though. Like, what would you do? I got the guy on the line that I was trying to email, you know, 5 minutes before this moment. And I have him on the line. I said, I'm not letting this guy off the line. This is what I'm saying to myself. And I go, how you doing, Mr. Barty? My name is Andre. And he stops me. He goes, you're just the guy I've been waiting to talk to. I'm like, I am. You know, I've never met you in my life. This is impossible. He goes, yeah, you know, the president told me that you make great suits. I'm like, oh, this is a case of mistaken identity. This is the worst, right? But do you let him get off the line? No. And I go, I'll never forget it. I'm sorry, Mr. Barty. I'm not that guy, but I am your guy. That's exactly what I said to him. And I look back on it. I'm like, that was the cheesiest line I could have ever said, probably. But at that moment, it felt totally right.
It was the right line.
It was the right line. He goes, he says, well, tell me about yourself. And that particular moment changed my entire life.
Wow.
Because it turns out, by the way, that day he was expecting a call from a guy named Andre that makes suits. And he got me instead. Isn't that crazy? So, but it goes crazier than that. So he goes, I tell him about myself. I'm a young lawyer, Baltimore, Maryland. He says, okay. He says, I'll tell you what, I can't talk right now, but can you do this? Can you send me your resume? Send me a little cover letter. Maybe we'll be back in touch. I said, yeah. He said, can you do it now? Absolutely. Right there from the work computer, within 10 minutes, I send off my resume, which I already had, obviously, and send off my little cover letter. And a few hours later, I get a call from that 704 area code, which I know is Charlotte, 688, which I know is the Bobcats. So I'm like, okay, something's happening here. This is literally all the same day. I can't make this stuff up. So I pick it up and it's his assistant. And she goes, hey, Andre, Jared wanted to know if you're available at 6 tonight, you know, to talk. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Right? She's like, okay, great. 6 o'clock rolls around. My phone rings again, 704-688. I pick it up. Hey, Andre, it's Jared. I was like, you got to be kidding me, man. Like, this is somebody playing a joke on me. This can't be real. He goes, let me tell you what's interesting. He said, for about the past 5 or 6 weeks, we actually have been interviewing for a junior attorney position that they just hadn't posted. Right. And he was like, I like your resume. I like it a lot. And I said, okay. He said, hey, I see you're a member of Kappa Alpha Psi, which is fraternity, black, historically black fraternity. And I said, yeah. What are you? He goes, I'm a Q. I was like, oh, no problem. I love everybody. You know, it's all good. Which happens to be, by the way, Founders Day for Kappa Alpha Psi. So hello to all the Kappas out there.
Happy Founders Day.
Happy Founders. Thank you. So he goes, all right. He says, well, I'll tell you what, man. He says, let me talk to some people. We'd love to talk to you more. A few weeks later, man, I'm interviewing in Charlotte, North Carolina for this junior attorney position. I can't make this up. And a couple weeks after that, he called me and he says, so what do you want your title to be? And I go, I don't know, team counsel? He goes, no, director of legal affairs. And I was like, even better, right? And that was it. So I got hired as the director of legal affairs for the Charlotte Bobcats. And I started on my birthday, March 19, 2007.
What a crazy story that is. Literally. One day, you're staring out the window, upset with your life. And one thing that you did that most people don't do is you try to figure out a way to get out of that. Most people just stare out that window and think about, wow, I hate this day. Mm-hmm. I hate this job. Right. I'm so glad it's Friday. I'll have the weekend to just be to myself. Right. But you put it into action and you are like a living example of the corridor principle where one door opens up another door, opens up another, and all in one day. That's
all
a tiring day.
All in one day. I can't make this stuff up, but it's completely true. I can tell you.
That's absolutely incredible. That's one of the greatest stories we've heard here. I'm just taken back here. That's really awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's one heck of a birthday. Wow.
Yeah, it was an amazing birthday. I mean, go figure, right? So I'll never forget March 19, 2007. It's one of the best days of my life, you know, and I'm working in there. And after about a year and a half, he would leave, actually, believe it or not. And he went back to WWE to be general counsel. And it left me as the only attorney there. So the guy that I followed there ends up leaving. I'm like, where are you going? No, you can't. I need you, right? But it was an opportunity, too. It was an opportunity to step up. I did. A few years later, they promoted me to vice president of legal affairs. And I was, you know, responsible for the entire legal operations of the entire basketball organization and the foundation and the arena. So every event that came through, ironically, the job that, you know, was not that exciting to me really gave me the foundation for what I would do when I worked for the team. So literally my job almost every day was drafting contracts, reviewing deals, negotiating deals, closing deals. Go figure. This is what I'm doing here for this team. But I get to do it and, you know, obviously more exciting for me. Basketball, you know, and I got to do all the trades and transactions and all those sorts of things. A guy you never heard about, but that was very involved in the deals that you saw on ESPN. Work with Michael Jordan. That was cool, you know, right? And got to know him. And it was a really good experience. And after about 6.5 years, I decided it was time to move on. And that's when I started the tech company, you know.
And what made you decide to move on? Because, I mean, that story is incredible. And all those opportunities, I mean, people would kill for that. And then after that amount of time, you're just like, I need to move on.
You're exactly right. It's become a theme in my life, which is I don't like to settle. I think when I get to a point where I feel like I want more, I just go for it. And I trust what I feel. Basically. And I got to a point where I said, you know, being the top lawyer for one of the 30 teams in the world, fantastic. Hell yeah, you work for Michael Jordan, great. But, you know, I don't want to just work for a team for the rest of my life. I want to own one, right? If I'm going to be in sports. And I looked around and I said, wow, all the people that own a team, they look like they started businesses, right? They're entrepreneurs, basically. They're folks that created a bunch of value in the world. And the byproduct of that, obviously, was financial resources that they could use to buy a team. And I said, okay, you know, so that was kind of the initial thought. But I had been having this little feeling about entrepreneurship anyway. I'm a big idea guy. I have tons of them. I'm the guy that said, wow, I could have created Facebook, right? Like I'm that dude. And so with that mind frame, I decided, you know what? I'm gonna invest in that. I decided that I was gonna go back to school. So I went and got my MBA from University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And I was on the track for that, I started to gain the confidence that, you know, I think I can jump out here and do something. And then I had this tech idea with, you know, and entering the social commerce space. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna give it a shot. So I did that for about 4 years. We raised over $1 million. You know, we did a lot of good things. It was a lot of heartache, a lot of lessons, a lot of everything. And eventually got to a point where we just couldn't raise anymore. You know, those things burn a lot of cash and you got to raise at a faster rate than you burn or else you're done. that's really what happened to us. I still think it's a great concept. It's just, you know, wasn't the time for it for us. And it was during that window that I bit this donut. and I met some people while I was pitching, you know, ironically enough, that would be some folks that could help me to actually get this franchise, get this Duck Donuts franchise. So everything has for a reason. Maybe that's what Uno's purpose was for me, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really how I looked at it.
How was that process for you getting the Duck Donuts franchise? Because I know some franchises are notorious for being very hard to get into, mm-hmm. a very arduous process.
Yep.
So how was your process?
My process was great. So a couple things that worked in my favor. So again, with the tech startup, you know, ironically enough, it helped me in terms of my background, my valuation, my net worth. It was really something that I think contributed to my ability to even do it. And from a liquid standpoint, I had access to resources that maybe some people didn't. That's probably a byproduct of my wife and I having worked for a number of years. And then, like I said, I had some folks that could also chip in and invest in what we were trying to do. So the process itself was great to me. I had the chance to go to Pennsylvania, which is where Duck Donuts is headquartered, and sit down with the CEO of Duck Donuts, Russ DiGilio, and his team. And it was almost like love at first sight, because these were some really cool people from my neck of the woods, by the way. You know, I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware. So Pennsylvania, obviously Delaware, close together. But, you know, these were just some really cool people. And I saw what he was trying to build in particular and where they were going. And I said, I got to be a part of this. Not only is the product phenomenal, but, you know, these folks here, they're going to get it done. Without a doubt. And it was almost like it was startup-like, but it wasn't exactly a startup, right? It was further along than just any other startup. And I said, man, I can help. I think I can do something with this. And turns out, you know, I was interested in the Charlotte market, of course. Somebody was already there. And they asked me, you know, do you have any interest in Atlanta? I was like, man, I love Atlanta. Are you kidding me? And I said, yeah, I'll go take a look at it, and found some places and, you know, fell in love with a spot. And that was it. I said, hey, let's do it. So lot of lessons learned throughout even getting the first one up. We've got a second one that we're working on in the Toco Hills area. Our first one's in Buckhead. Second one will be in Toco Hills early this year, actually. And so many things that I learned from the first one that will make the second one and all those beyond that much better. So it's been a great process for me. A lot of the things that you know taught me, terms of perseverance, in terms of just, hey, you got to have faith, you got to see it through, you got to have a plan. All those things apply to what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say is your favorite part of being a franchise owner of Duck Donuts?
You know, I think my favorite part is probably interacting with the customers and seeing them get joy from the product that really started from me biting a donut. I mean, it's crazy when I go in there and I see a customer come through or kids and they're having just this unbelievable experience and they really love the product. And I'm like, this is insane, because literally it started from just an idea, a thought, and it became so real. And I think that that feeling is something that I think is very unique to the entrepreneur. It's like you start from just a wild thought, a crazy idea, where everybody else would be like, no, just go back and do your regular job. You know, and an entrepreneur says, no, I want to do something different. And I believe I can do it. And then it actually starts to happen. It's like, oh my God. Like, you even have to look up sometimes, like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't even know how this is happening right now. So that's probably my favorite part.
And I can attest to that. I've actually consumed one of these amazing donuts. And just a little background, I am raised in Georgia. So Krispy Kreme to the day I die, right?
Yeah, right.
But you taste one of these donuts and I don't even know what to say.
We're enhancing your life, aren't we?
Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
It's That's just the mission. So warm and it's like, oh my God. And the flavors, there's endless flavors.
Endless flavors, amazing. Yep. Top of whatever you want. No extra charge. All like
that. That is what I call an amazing customer experience and an amazing donut experience.
Yeah, right. That's right. Appreciate that.
Jaren, you got to check it out.
You have to.
No, I definitely do. I love donuts. You know, you don't know. You don't understand. I love them. I'm dying over here. You guys are killing me. But I love how simple it is, because people try to overcomplicate everything. You took a bite of a donut and were like, this is amazing. And that was it.
That's it, man. I mean, I think that's ultimately most things in life, right? You know, I think it's, don't overthink it. What we feel, how we feel, there's a lot of power in that. right? And I like to say, especially when you're, you know, if you've been to school or not, or you just school of hard knocks, whatever it is, you've been training your gut for a long time. And so when it starts to ring, when it starts to go off, you should pay attention. And I think first and foremost, the theme that you'll see throughout my whole life is that I throw out a vision. You know, my dad said, and it adorns the walls in my office in Charlotte in particular, but he said, think, dream, plan, execute. Think, dream, plan, execute. And if you boil it down to that, you realize, yeah, it actually is that streamlined. It's that simple. You know, it's harder to do, obviously, but thinking, what's that cost you? Nothing, right? Dreaming, I mean, I'm a huge dreamer. Huge dreamer. I mean, I'll dream. Some of my best ideas come when I'm like taking a shower or something, right? Like, because I'm just like going off into another world. And I'm always envisioning something big. It's just what I, you know, that's just my thing. I enjoy it. That's what I enjoy. And, but what I also enjoy is the chase after it. I enjoy that. And I'm pretty competitive. So I really like winning. So all those things combined, that's what it is. That's what gets you there. And I think that's a common thing amongst entrepreneurs in particular. But successful people generally, right? Like that's usually how they think. They throw out these ambitions and they pursue them. And it really does boil down to that. You know, Ariam, you mentioned this, right? Like it's going after it, actually doing it. That's the difference between those that live the life they want to live and those that don't. And don't get me wrong. It's very challenging sometimes, depending on the circumstances you're from or whatever. It's challenging to pursue whatever it is that you dream about. But I don't think that should stop the pursuit. And if you can maintain the energy and build the momentum to go after whatever it is that you're trying to go after, it's doable. It's very doable. You know, and to answer your question again, Darren, to go back to kind of what made me decide to leave the Bobcats and that wonderful world, right? The NBA and all that good stuff. I started to see that there were regular people achieving extraordinary things. And so Bob Johnson, you know, great guy, obviously, you know, has done extremely well in his life, but he's a regular guy. He's a regular guy that clearly turns on his work and turns on his independent thinking. And that's how he's able to succeed. You know, Michael Jordan, is he a regular guy? I don't know. People could debate that, right? But I think getting to know him, yeah, he's really a regular guy. He had an extraordinary talent that he really cultivated and he put to work. And he did so tirelessly, nonstop, because he was passionate about it. So the moral of the story is find your passion. Find your passion.
I think a lot of people do like to hide behind the fact that some people are just born extraordinary. Like you said, Michael Jordan. But I've always believed that there are no extraordinary people. There are ordinary people who choose to do extraordinary things.
I agree with that.
Choose being emphasized because it's a choice. Every day you make a choice. Every
Absolutely.
Minute you make a choice. And that choice can be very detrimental or it can be something that can catapult you into a new life.
Absolutely.
But one thing that you did mention, I think a lot of people actually do this. A lot of people do dream big, but sometimes we feel so small that we're not able to take action on that. So have you ever, on your amazing journey that you've been on, have you ever felt so small?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the great contradiction, I think, about an entrepreneur is we usually dream super big, but the reality is we're probably scared to death in a lot of ways, right? Because there's so much. We deal in the world of the unknown. We're trying to create something from nothing. And that can be pretty scary. Anxiety filled, right? And but you have a choice. Like you said, you can choose to succumb to that and, you know, not move forward, or you can choose to, you know what, I'm gonna walk into it anyway. And it's those people, the ones that decide to walk into it anyway, well, those are the stories that you read about. Now, what you don't read about and talk about feeling small, I mean, I had plenty of down days, plenty of them, right? Plenty of days where I second guess and I question the decision to even go into these things. Right. As an entrepreneur, one of the things that you're always thinking about, cash flow and things like that. And, you know, regardless of how big your business is or how small it is, that's always a consideration. That's always a concern. And, you know, those are things that keep you up at night. Those are things that make you feel like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. But, you know, when you face those moments, you have to lean on hopefully some solid values. And that's where I look to my family, my parents, my siblings, you know, my wife, who's been a rock for me throughout all this, right? I look to, you know, folks that say, hey, keep going. We believe in you, right? And, you know, you can do this. And that theme for me was always persevere. That's what that equaled to me. Persevere. Like, don't stop. And again, I have plenty of examples of that in my life. You know, you watch your child be born, for example. I'm like, man, did my wife persevere? Yes, she did. I don't know how she did that. But yeah, I mean, I think it really boils down to getting over those down days and small days. And like my dad said, think, dream, plan, execute, right? And it's the planning part of it that usually is the challenge. Because A, if you've never done something, how do you even know what to plan? Right.
So true.
And so I can tell you that the best examples, if you look at a lot of folks that have been really successful, whether you're talking about, you know, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs or Zuckerberg, right? Folks like that. Sarah Blakely, who's the Spanx founder, right? You know, if you look at folks, they didn't necessarily go to college. They didn't get all this education, formal education per se, but I'm sure they got a lot of informal education. Right. And I can say that because my dad was one of those people. He didn't go to college, but he was one of the wisest people I ever met in my life. And it's being able to really absorb and understand or try and understand what is being taught around you. And you can get that from a lot of sources, books, TV even, right? I mean, news, whatever it may be. And I think it starts there. If you start with the passion and then you say, okay, what's the best place to look to actually figure this out? You know, a lot of people get mentors. That's a good approach too, because guess what? They can save you a lot of time. They'll probably tell you the books to read that they read, right? And they'll say, do this, 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 and this.
That is very true.
You know, and go from there. The rest is on you. You know, how hard you work, you know, how much you believe, how much are you willing to persevere? It's on you. But yeah, you can find the resources to plan and then execute.
So Andre, taking a look back on your amazing entrepreneurial journey, what advice would you give to yourself, your younger self?
You know, my younger self, when I was working that corporate job, I would say, man, save a lot more money for the time where you may want to be an entrepreneur, right? Because then you can self-fund a lot of what you want to do instead of having to go to financing sources. That's the first thing I'd say. And then I also say, you know what? Make sure, because I still have student loans, make sure that you pay off all your student loans, right? Like, get to debt-free point. You know, so it's not a bad thing actually to come out and work a job. Again, part of that planning or learning aspect, right? Had I not done that real estate job, I wouldn't have had the skill set to go work at this team and do what I was doing, right? I probably had the one skill that could have got me the job. So I would just say, yeah, you know what? Really look down the road and don't just live for today. You know, because I had the cars and the house and that kind of stuff. And that's cool. You know, I'm still able to live a good life. But it's like, man, you could be like a multi-millionaire, maybe just from having worked if you had thought about it in those terms. And I think that's just something that you learn and you say, hey, you know what? I won't make that mistake twice. Right.
Right.
Which is why people tend to succeed on their second, third, fourth, fifth ventures, because they have the earlier lessons.
And it really is all of that, yeah. That corridor. You right. learn more as you grow more, as you pursue more.
That's right.
And you just have to make sure that you are pursuant of what you want your future to be.
That's exactly right.
And Andre, you definitely have that vision.
Thank
you. And thank you so much for sharing all of that with us today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. That story was incredible. I'm still sitting back here. I love moments like that, because it's true. Like, you never know when something's going to take off. And if you just, like, what did you have to lose? You made a phone call.
That's right. Exactly.
It changed your life.
I say that all the time. The only thing I had to lose that day was my pride. If he said, I don't have time to talk to you.
But you have plenty of pride left
yeah,
over.
Exactly.
So.
Right. Exactly.
I threw
right.
mine out the window a long time ago. So I think I'm on the right track.
There you go.
But for our listeners out there, what would be the best way to contact you or get into contact?
Well, I'm on Instagram, Phoenix Dre, FeenixDre, Phoenix being the rise of the Phoenix, right? Phoenix bird. So that's probably one of the best ways to reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn. So yeah, I mean, those channels are probably most effective for getting in touch with me.
All right. You heard it here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Biz Radio U. And thank you, Andre, for joining us today.
No problem.
Have a great day.
Me.